Join us as we cover many an insane movie and numerous cult TV phenomenons. Are you ready to get jacked up? Are you with us? Then listen on.
Introducing all, we got Laurel from Demented Stuff. How are you?
I was born in 1973. So because of that, I was in my 20s in the 1990s. And I was the perfect age for Nirvana. I think that when they started, I was about 19. So I've just always been into like hard rock kind of music.
And right. And they were always around.
Kurt Cobain, yeah, great. Kurt Cobain can bristle about that all he wants, but his music was hard rock. They just made up a new name for it. Grunge. I wouldn't really call it heavy metal.
Grunge rock and.
Yeah, I mean they made up, you know, the name grunge, but it was just hard rock. I mean, some of it, you know, I don't know, maybe had a little bit different sound, but it really wasn't that different. That they needed to make a whole new name for it. And I'm gonna get my drink here.
And this is what's fun about it, is just figuring out who loves it for just it being headbanging versus actually connected with the music on some level. So that's what you gotta ask metalheads.
I have an older brother and an older sister, and this was the music that they were listening to when I was under the age of 10, and I just started getting into a lot of my own bands, and my brother listened to Led Zeppelin, so when I got into like some of the hair metal stuff, he did not like that. He was like, I tried to get you into good music. I'm like, well, this is good music, so shut up. So when Nirvana came along, they weren't, you know, they weren't hair metal, but they were hard, and I love Nirvana. Oh my God. I just got so into them. And back then they still had magazines that you could actually hold in your hands. What were you going to say?
Oh, totally. And it is kind of funny how it just went in stages.
And I had I'd buy all the magazines that had Nirvana in them or on the cover. And they were on the cover of so many magazines.
Totally.
So, you know, I would just buy.
Totally.
Okay.
I'm just acknowledging.
I know. I just sometimes I can't hear everything you say, so because I cut you off because I can't stop talking.
Funny how internet works.
I would say that I was the perfect age for Nirvana. So I just love them, and really loved Dave Grohl, and then, you know, the whole thing happened with Kurt either killing himself or being murdered, whatever you believe.
Whichever version of it. The story is the same.
He ended up dead, yeah. And it was, it was devastating to me. It was really, you know, it hit me really hard. And of course, for a long time, I believed that he killed himself. Now I'm not sure. I'm kind of in the middle. Sometimes I think, well, you know, people who were actually there, who actually knew Kurt, they think he killed himself. So
I believe
that's
what
happened. And then other time.
I believe that just by marrying Courtney Love alone, that was a suicide note. Because it just seemed like he got so much trouble anytime, anywhere. He was just destined to have issues.
Well, I mean, I just think he couldn't really take being a, quote, rock star, unquote. He That's couldn't, a good point. You know, some people have... I mean, I think that some people, you know, you have to have a certain amount of ego to be able to take what the music business is, especially when you get that big. And I don't think that he could take it. I think that having people staring at him all the time and expecting him to be a role model, he did not want to be anybody's role model. He wanted to be able to do heroin and not have kids do the same thing because he was doing it. And that's what was happening. I mean, there were kids who killed themselves after he killed himself, if that's what happened. Because, I mean, you can make a very compelling case for either side of things. You can make a very compelling case for suicide, and you can make a very compelling case for his wife had him murdered. So,
yeah.
She did have a great... Yeah, I mean, I think that it just came to a point where I think that if Kurt had not died, that the band would have broken up, because Dave had way too many ideas in his head for his own music, and those kind of, you know, creative ideas do not stay quiet forever. They want to come out, if they want to come out, then he would have been writing his own songs, you know, and I think that Kurt, you know, would have been like, well, I don't like one. This one sounds okay, you know. I mean, if you listen to the Foo Fighters, they can be very different from Nirvana a lot of the time. And then there are other times where they do sound Nirvana-ish. I don't think that Kurt would have been happy with everything that Dave wanted to write. So I think that they would have eventually broken up anyways, because Dave would have wanted to form his own band.
Right.
So, but, you know, it went the way of Kurt dying. And so Dave had all of those musical ideas in his head, and he needed to let them out. So when he formed the Foo Fighters, I got into that, and I really loved that first album, and I was just amazed that he did that all by himself, because he played everything on the first album except for just like one guitar part and one song.
Yeah.
And that is pretty amazing, because a lot of people can't do that kind of thing.
Mind blowing. Yeah.
So I got
mind blowing.
So I got really into that one, and they came out with the second album, they were long on it, and I liked it, but there were a lot more songs that I couldn't get into, so I kind of lost touch with the band for a long time.
Right.
And then in 2016, what were you saying?
Right, that's totally it, because they were everywhere, so you weren't likely to hear every song they made.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
It wasn't a question. I was just saying, yeah, it's true. It was very oversaturated. They were big. Internet connections. Anyway, so.
You were saying you were like oversaturated?
Yeah. I mean, they were big and all over the place. So anyway, yeah. I mean, so I would not be surprised if you missed out on some of their material, or, you know, after the first three giant hits on each album.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of got into. But I just kind of lost touch with the band for a long time, although I did hear some of the songs along the way on the radio. And then I got back into them in 2016. There were just some circumstances going on that I decided to catch up with them. And I listened to everything that had been coming out since the late 90s. And it was, you know, it just like was totally overwhelming. And it was like, whee! I just loved it. So how did you get into the band?
I just couldn't escape it. I just always heard them on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 2000s, just everyone knew him. And as I talked earlier with John, you know, there was SNL appearances and just constantly featured in documentaries and interviews. And I was just like, yeah, it's like, how can you guys not know who these are?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's kind of weird because a lot of the people that I know, I guess it depends on their age, because there's a lot of people that I know that have not even heard of the band. But then there's other people that I know that are more into that kind of music that have definitely heard of them, but I don't know if they're real into them. But I just, you know, when I started to rediscover them, I, you know, listening to all of these, you know, this just huge catalog of songs that had been coming out for so many years. And it was, you know, kind of, I just was having just the best time listening to them again and catching up with them. And right. Catching up with who they were and who they had become as people. Because, you know, if you look at Little Dave from the 90s, because, I mean, I know that a lot of people would look at him when he was younger and think, oh, look at that long hair, but not how I think of guys with long hair, because I have known them for so many years. To me, I can see them differently, and I can see that he just looked like this little boy next door type.
Yeah.
And then as he's gotten older, his look has changed a lot, and sometimes you can't even, you have to really look hard to see that it's the same person, you know? But but then, you know, you see, oh yeah, he's got the same nose and he's got this and this. You know, if you're just kind of a casual listener, you might not even think it's the same person, because, you know, people change so much over the years. I don't know. I mean, people are always telling me that I look the same as I did when I was a teenager, but I can see the difference. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. But physically, just, you know, he looks a lot different than how he did when he was a lot younger. And what was I going to say? There's also the fact that they are extremely prevalent on YouTube. If you just search Foo Fighters on YouTube, you will get probably millions of results. I mean, there's just not just the videos, but they have so many interviews and documentaries and just all kinds of things on YouTube. And that was another thing that I discovered when I got back into them in 2016.
Totally.
I have to get my drink. I'm going dry again.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Well, it is kind of interesting how... did you follow any of his documentary work? Where you would tour around?
I've watched some of it. Some of the more recent stuff. I don't really like to pay for stuff on cable or whatever, or streaming. I haven't really gotten into streaming yet. So some of the more recent documentaries that he's been making, I have not watched those yet. But I have heard of them, and I know that he recently had a documentary about touring and interviewed all of these different famous musicians, like Guns N' Roses, people from Guns N' Roses, and I can't even remember, but
he did all kinds of stuff.
He did a lot of stuff. Yeah, he had the one with his mom, where his mom was interviewing other musicians' mothers.
Nice.
Yeah. I haven't watched that one yet, but I have seen clips from it, and that's a really great idea. I mean, that's a something that hasn't been tapped very much. So I think it's going to be interesting, but I haven't watched it yet. But I did watch, they made like a feature length movie about the band and just talking about stories. And that was really interesting to watch. I mean, it really got interesting when they started having all of the day-to-day of making Wasting Light. That was their best album as far as I'm concerned. It didn't have a bad song on it. I was just, whoa. I loved that that whole part in the whole album. And that whole part when they were doing the day-to-day of making that album, it was really interesting to watch all of that, and funny Right. And and I kept going, Dave, stop being mean to Taylor. Because he was being so mean. Because I just love Taylor to death. That was another thing that I discovered when I got back into the Foo Fighters was Taylor Hawkins. And all of the music that he has made, I had no idea that he was so talented. I mean, I knew he was a great drummer from just watching all that stuff. But watching all the videos and the live, because they have put out so many live videos on YouTube. You can watch entire concerts.
You really can.
And yes, I mean, if you go on and just, you know, like they had their whole show at Madison Square Garden from last year, and they put that up on the web, and that's just really cool to me. I don't know if other I think that there are probably some other bands that have put stuff like that out, but they usually put it out as like a DVD or something.
Yeah,
and you don't get to go on YouTube and watch it for free.
Or they're very casual, or it seemed to just kind of be just a word of mouth kind of thing. But yeah, now they basically have embraced every kind of media, and everyone wants to work with them. You've never heard anything about, hey, no, Dave's good, but only on a certain day. No, you've never heard any of that. You know. I think charisma goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean, when they do, I mean, because I've been to one of their concerts. I haven't been to a lot yet because I just haven't had the money or whatever. But I went to one of their concerts, and I've watched a lot of their concerts on YouTube because they put so many on YouTube. But it's, I mean, they know on which side their bread is buttered. They play all the hits, and sometimes they'll occasionally throw in a song that you wouldn't expect to hear. So they do a lot of that, and they play for 3 hours. They try to play for 3 hours at every concert now because they have so many songs to play. I mean, they've been at it for 25 years. So, but that was another thing that I did not know that Taylor could sing. I did not know that he could write all these. The albums that he's put out with, he did the Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders. That is that to me is one of the best side bands that any of them have, but they're so good and their songs are so good that there are times when I like that band better than the Foo Fighters.
I haven't been exposed to that, but it's kind of cool how it all kind of runs together. Everyone wants to check out all their side projects because...
Right, and they have a million of them, you know, because, you know, Dave has all the side stuff that he's done. And some of that was good, and some of it I'm just not that interested in, like the, what is that band called? Queens of the Stone Age. I'm just not interested because it's not anybody singing that I really like or know. So I'm just like,
it's a different kind of experimental music.
So. Yeah, because Queens of the Stone Age is one of the things that Dave did on the side, and he played drums, and occasionally, you know, he'd do like some background vocals or something. Why would I care about that? I'm just like, it's not Dave singing. He's just playing the drums. Big deal. I don't know why, but that just doesn't interest me at all.
I'm good. I mean,
with Taylor, he sings on that stuff most of the time. And, you know, I have to say, because I think that some people would disagree with this statement, but I think that Taylor is a better singer than Dave. I love his voice. And I know that would be a controversial opinion, but I don't care because his voice is just, it's like heaven. There's something about his singing voice that he has become my favorite singer. And I told you that I was going to sing his praises
because no, that's
fine. He has become,
my favorite
singer.
You know,
you need to, you need to go on YouTube and just search Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders, and you will find some really good rock and roll songs. They are more just generic, general rock and roll. I mean, some of it sounds a little bit hard rockish, but they're a little bit more mellow than maybe the Foo Fighters. I mean, the Foo Fighters there have been times when the Foo Fighters were really popish.
And
I would say, well, you know, I would compare Taylor's stuff more to just rock and roll. You know, that's just, that would be the best label for it to me. But if you just search that on YouTube, they have put out some really good albums, and that's just a side band. But there's just something about Taylor's voice that it just has the absolute perfect qualities to me.
It has the momentum.
Or most of it.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Okay.
It has the perfect amount of momentum.
Right. It's just, you see, the best way to describe his voice is it's very, it's like raspy, kind of smoky and breathy. And just when he just sings in his normal register and he doesn't try to put on a heavier voice, because there are some songs where he tries to sound deeper, and it's, I mean, his voice is okay like that, but I like it better when he just sings in his normal high register, because he's got the ability to sing kind of high at times. And it just, to me, I think it sounds perfect. I just love his voice. So there are a lot of songs that he has done that, that I just could listen to over and over and over. What was I going to say about that? I'm trying to get my mind to come back. Where'd you go, mind?
Where are you?
Well, he has a few other side bands, and some of those, like, I don't know why they have to change the name of the band every time they put out an album or something, but he did something called The Birds of Satan that wasn't as good. He had a few good songs with that, but most of them were just kind of, they just go by, you know, they're just kind of, you know. So I didn't like The Birds of Satan quite as much as the Coattail Riders. And then let's see. And now they just kind of have, oh, he's got a new side band, which I don't, like I said, I don't know why they have to have so many different ones, but.
Oh, they might not want to do it with the rest of the band, or maybe Sony doesn't want to put out money for that. So, you know, it's a business. So, or maybe he doesn't want it to be part of the brand, you know, maybe he wants to test it out in a different audience. So.
Plays, he has him on bass a lot, and then the guitarist would keep changing, but they would keep being the Coattail Riders for a while. And now he's got a side band with Chris Chaney and Dave Navarro, which I thought was really different, because I see Dave Navarro as a very serious person, and he might not actually be a very serious person,
but it just comes off that way.
Yeah, I mean, he just comes off as a lot more serious. And so they formed a band called NHC for Navarro, Hawkins, Chaney. So I don't even know if this album is out yet or what. I just know that they have several songs up on YouTube, and it has a lot more serious air to it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of problems.
No, it's all good.
I was going to say I have a lot of problems. Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
I have a lot of problems with my sinuses, so I dry out a lot quickly sometimes. So I have to get something to drink. But that's actually something else that I mentioned was the health stuff. That was kind of what was going on in 2016 is that over the years, I was like in pain all the time. And it got worse and worse and worse over the years. And 2016 was when it got so bad that I just couldn't take it anymore and I had to see a doctor. I had tried seeing a couple of doctors before that and they would just kind of blow it off. Like, you know, it's just because you're aging, or it's because of this or that. And I knew there was something going on. Because you know how your own body is supposed to feel,
right?
In a way. So I went to the doctor to get some help with my sinuses, because I've also had a lot of problems with my sinuses over the years. And at that time, I didn't have any health insurance. So they brought me a paper and said, you know, you can go to this clinic, and it's like based on how much you can pay. Or actually, they just had like a $10 copay. But if you made under a certain amount of money, you could go there just for the $10 copay, and they would pay for practically everything. And I was like, oh, good, okay. So I was finally in an area and in a place where I could finally see a doctor, and I could say, you know, I've been in pain for years and nobody has really done much of anything about it. Can you help? And this doctor turned out to be really great. And she was really just one of those doctors that you can tell who is in it because they really have a lot of compassion for people and they yeah. really want to help people. So at the same time, I was getting back into the Foo Fighters and getting into Taylor's music. So it was like that became the soundtrack of my, you know, chasing my diagnosis. So like, I mean, I have a really emotionally deep connection to the band and to Taylor especially. So I always try to tell people, you know, don't come at me being insulting to the band or being just blatantly insane, you know, because people can criticize them and say, well, maybe I don't really like them that much. You know, that's okay. But if you come at me like, I don't know, just saying something that's just blatantly insulting, I get really mad. I mean, I just instantly want to defend them and say, you know, oh, that's not true or whatever. Because there's a lot of times that I've seen in the comments on YouTube, people will say, oh, I think that Taylor sounds a lot like Kurt Cobain. They even look alike. And that just, I just fly off the handle with that because it is so not true. Okay. These right. two men have blonde hair. That's it. They don't look alike at all. They don't look anything like each other. And they don't sound anything like each other. I mean, seriously, if you go and you listen to some of the Coattail Riders music, you tell me, does Taylor sound anything like Kurt? Because he doesn't.
No.
And they try to say, oh, that's why Dave hired him to be in the band. Just like, no, he hired him because he's talented. And it just makes me so mad when people do that.
And it just gets old after a while. It's like, where are you going with this?
Well, it's just not true. Yeah, it's just not true. And I think that people want it to be true because they want it to be that, that, you know, that Dave hired Taylor because he reminds him of Kurt. And it's just not true. I mean, seriously, it's not even a valid opinion.
You would know if they wanted to.
There's no truth to it whatsoever. And it just gets me so mad because, like on YouTube, they have a lot of videos of the band doing interviews. And just listening to them talk about their lives and everything, I got so emotionally attached, you know, to just watching interviews and laughing because they made me laugh so much when I was in pain.
And, well, yeah, like, that, you know, music can be healing and everyone kind of seems to forget about that because they just think leisure and everything is like music would often get me through a work night sometimes. Just if I'm hearing some really cool jams, oh man, I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean it. I mean, that was what the Foo Fighters and Taylor Hawkins were doing for me was they were really helping me get through this because it's scary when they're testing you to find out if you have a disease that could kill you. I mean, it's a scary thing. And when I was waiting for the results from that CAT scan, you know, they were like, "Well, it could be a brain tumor," and it's like, "Oh, okay." It doesn't make you very happy to know that that's a possibility.
Not comforting at all.
Because, you know, I hope it's okay if I say fuck. I was going to say, because that could fuck you up just thinking about that. Yeah, I mean, it was very hard. And listening to, you know, Taylor's heavenly voice, it was like, oh. I mean, it just made me feel a lot better and helped me get through it. And that's another, you know, that's another reason why I'm so emotionally attached to these people is that, you know, I want to know, like, what their kids are doing. Like, oh, look, there's Dave's daughter. She can sing really well. Oh, you know, it's just, I really want to, you know, like, be involved in their lives as closely as I can get to it, you know, because there's only so close that I can get. But I just want to know what their families are doing and, you know.
Non-stalkers.
I know, they're all the way in California, so they're safe for me right now because I'm in Texas, and that's a long way to go, you know. And I got to work my job. You know, I can't just hop on the bus and go out to California and you know, see if I can get into the exclusive neighborhood where Taylor lives. Let's see if we can get in here. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, even if I had the money, if I did that, it'd be like, my boss would be like, where are you, Laurel? We need you to work on this project. I'm like, oh, no, I have to go back home. One of the things, I mean, I discovered that there were certain, like, certain music that would make me feel really good. Like, beyond just, you know, I like the song. It was like, it was like something was touching my nerves and making them feel better, you know, making them feel good instead of pain. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, just yeah. Everything is eliminated for those sparse minutes, but they feel way longer.
And one of the things that really, you know, that really touches those nerves and makes them feel good and makes me feel kind of high is Taylor's voice. There's just something, it's like it has the absolute perfect quality to touch my nerves in a way that I'm just like, yeah, oh my God, I love his voice so much. You know, and it's just, it goes beyond just, I love the song or I love this guy's voice. It's really hard to explain. And you just have to have fibromyalgia. You have to have overactive nerves to understand how good it can make me feel. So there has been a few other singers that sometimes when they sing like a certain way, it can affect me the same way, but nobody can do it like Taylor can. I mean, there's just something about his voice that is just perfect quality to, you know, to really make me feel good. And that's another reason why I just love his music so much and I love his voice so much, is because it affects me physically. And that, I mean, that is, I can't even explain how profound it is to connect.
You've only been explaining it the whole episode. You've summed up basically just.
Do you think I've been explaining it well?
I mean, the fact that this is a personal get out of, to actually feel like, just forget about the messed up reality for who knows how many minutes, that's already a feat. So, I mean, we've all been in various degrees of pain and had different issues, never been in the same scenarios, but one thing that unites us all is definitely just something that just made us just escape the harshness of today's world.
Yeah, and especially when you have to deal with it being in pain all the time. And, you know, I'm not trying to make people feel sorry for me. I mean, everybody's got something that, yeah, you know,
the body's
that they
not
need,
acting
that
the right
need.
Way.
Yeah. Right, and especially as you get older. I mean, I know people make jokes about it, but really, the older you get, the more your body finds places to hurt. That has been my experience. I don't know if other people experience the same thing. You know? But, yeah, that's been a large part of the experience for me, for the Foo Fighters and Taylor Hawkins, is that they, you know, they just happened to come along or come back into my life. At the same time that this was getting, that this pain was getting really bad for me. So, you know, I've just found a way to deal with it all. And that is one of my escapes. And, you know, like going and watching their interviews on, YouTube, because like I said, there are like a million of them. I mean, seriously, I had no idea that they had even done that many interviews in their lives. And, because like Dave, Taylor, and Chris, they have all done, you know, at least some amount of talking. Mostly Dave and Taylor, they do most of the talking in the interviews. But they are just hilarious, and they're, you know, and they just cuss. Like every other word is some form of the F word, and that's something right. That I did not realize. I just did not know that, you know, I thought that would be like Ozzy or somebody like that mm-hmm. who would be going, oh, no, fuck it, fucking, fuck, you know. But it's, I mean, for some reason, Dave just loves the F word. And then Taylor will follow him and he'll start going, fuck, fuck, fucking, fucking, fuck, fuck, fuck. And oh, really? Fuck, fuck, fuck. Fuck, fuck, fucking, fucking, fuck, fuck, fuck. You know, it's, I mean, there's like every other word is the F word. And it's just funny. It's just extremely funny to watch them do interviews. And then when they're like, oh, my daughter's probably going to watch this one, I have to stop saying fuck. So they'll try to censor themselves and, you know. It's just, it's really, really fun to watch those interviews and laugh. And that's like a whole other experience that can help you escape from your, you know, your, if when your life gets bad, I mean, they have become extremely important to me. So that's why when I saw that on your list, I was like, ooh, I wonder trying to pull me in to get me to do the Zoom meeting.
Oh, you did good. Because, I mean, half the time we would, you know, try and assemble a few music-oriented episodes and everyone just seemed to just want to talk about just the songs and everything. It's like, no, I need everyone to talk about why this person risked.
A more personal angle?
Yeah, and you pretty much just summed up they just...
Right.
If you're interviews.
Because, I mean, I have, you know, personal connections to a few other bands. But not like, I mean, because this is fairly recent also. I mean, you know, I'm also really into like Def Leppard and Bon Jovi. They're two of my favorites as well. But a lot of the personal connection happened back when I was a teenager, and it's been so long that I don't even know if I could remember half of it now. So, you know, the Foo Fighters and Taylor, Foo Fighters and Taylor, they're a very more recent, you know, love that I gained back. And, I think, you know, I definitely love them more now than even when I did back in my 20s. So they're just, you know, a much more recent acquisition. But I just, you know, I have a huge connection to them now because of the fact that they were the band that was there when I was going through all of these tests and trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And so I hope that there will be a theater somewhere in Dallas that will have the movie, because I would be surprised if it's in a whole lot of theaters, but yeah. I would like to see it.
It's Open Road Films, like so it'll play at like a decent amount of screens for sure, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I wonder if it's going to be at like regular theaters or I can't talk.
It might be at every other AMC, but it probably won't be at every Six Flags Mall or whatever, you know? So
yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be all over the place, but I mean, I wonder if it's going to be, is it AMC that the movie is most associated with?
Open Road Films. So yeah, it's like, it'll play at any local Fox or... It'll definitely play in some decent theaters, and it definitely seems like one which they made for like under budget. So,
because I was wondering if it was just going to come to the, what are they called? Like the more independent theaters, like where you go to
the Angelica, probably.
Yeah,
Studio Movie Grill, probably.
Yeah, or something like that. If it just be like the really obscure ones that only have one location in Dallas or something. Or if it would be more of a wider release, you know, I'd have to wait and see. Because I'm sure that a lot of people are going to be going, what's this? You know, who are the Foo Fighters? Who are these guys? You know?
They're pretty well known at this stage to where
it depends on who you work with and how old they are.
They're so immortalized now, it'll be a matter of do you want to see them carry a movie or, you know, are you going to see it even if you're not into horror genre movies or horror comedies. So it's like, yeah.
Well, I don't know. How old are you?
Oh, loaded question. Well, I am.
I'll tell you, I'm 48. So how old are you?
I'm 31.
31? Oh, wow. Because I have met some people at work who were younger than you, who were in their 20s, and they would go, who's Guns N' Roses? And I would just be like, oh my God, you don't know who they are. Oh. It would make me feel so old because they had no idea who these people were. They were like, Slash, who's that? It makes me want to die or something. Just like, I can't believe you don't even know who they are. I mean, just some of the most famous metal bands, and this girl had no idea who I was talking about.
Hey, how that works.
So I do sometimes. Yeah, I mean, I do meet people at work who just have no idea who the Foo Fighters are. Who's Dave Grohl? Oh, my God. You know, I'm like, okay, do you know who Kurt Cobain is? I've heard of him, but I'm not sure. Was he in Soundgarden? And I'm like,
what else would he be in? You know, hanging around some dumb people.
It hurts because they have no idea who these people are. But then they're like, oh, well, I listened to Kanye West and... they put out some song that had Kim Kardashian on it, and I'm like, oh God, kill me,
not
kill me.
Even.
Because, you know, I mean, I know who those people are because I watch TMZ, but I don't listen to them because they're just so far. I mean, they're after my time. They're not before my time. They are after my time. But that just blows my mind that there are people who have no idea who the Foo Fighters are. Like I said, most of them are in their 20s or younger, I hope. But I think that there are some people in their 30s who don't know who they are either, because that's just not the music that they've been exposed to.
Sad bastards.
I feel bad for them, because I feel like the music that I mean, of course, everybody thinks that the music that they listen to is the best music that's ever been made.
Right.
You know, just my dad used to listen to the big band era and Frank Sinatra, and he thinks he thought that was the best music that was ever made. But you know, I really think that a lot of the stuff that I listen to has a lot of soul to it, and a lot of the pop stuff that comes out these days, it just has no soul.
No.
There's just nothing. It just doesn't sound like the people are really putting any effort into it.
Totally.
They're just
not
doing the absolute minimum that they have to, you know?
Mm-hmm. It gets frustrating after a while. It's like,
yeah. Okay.
We'll return after these messages.
JURRS Podcast is proud to promote AutoCorrect, an independent film company with experienced industry professionals who can serve all your film industry needs. They include self-tapes, voice actor recordings, demo reel editing, script revisions, headshots, and much more. They're Actor Correct at your request. Book them on Instagram.
Hey, feeling down? Feeling low? Not enough podcasts about movies in your life? Why not try?
They must be destroyed on sight!
The new podcast cure-all, sure to get you right with the world and on a path to better living. We have exploitation, we have Italian horror, we have zombies, we have slashers, we have crime films, we have spaghetti westerns, we even have sci-fi and sex comedies. So take a dose of
They Must Be Destroyed on Sight!
As needed, and let the hosts, Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest host cure what ails you.
Warning, may cause atrophy, African consumption, black fever, bone shave, tin puff, colic, cramp colic, dropsy of the brain, elephantitis, grocer's itch, jaundice, mania, miasma, mortification, palsy, Pox disease, rheumatism, scurvy, St. Anthony's fire, summer complaint, and worm fit in some people. Consult a physician before listening.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll, yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How did
be a
you
rough
watch
movie.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hey everybody, I'm Corey.
And I'm Zach, and we're the hosts of Podcasting After Dark, a cast dedicated to late-night horror and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, often found on HBO and Cinemax.
You know, the movies your parents didn't want you watching as a kid. You can find us every other week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher.
This is what you want.
This is what you get.
Greetings, friends. My name is Dean Legiro, and I'm the host of the 3324 Podcast. I invite you to join me and my lifelong friend Eric Kuber to come with us as we discuss the music and movies that shaped our life. Each week, we'll pick an album or film that we really connect to, and not only give you some great info and trivia, but also discuss, debate, and celebrate what it means to us and the journey it took us on. We also look forward to hearing from you and giving us some of your picks for us to check out and discuss. I think it'll be a really fun experience, so come along with us for the ride. You can find us on your favorite podcast provider and at 3324.buzzsprout.com. Thanks for your time, and welcome to the 3324 family.
It's time, let's check our cue, baby. Pair it with a couple brews, baby. We love good movies. We love the bad ones too. So we watch them all and pass their lessons on to you. Oh yeah. Bana 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 bana
bana bana bana. Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous movies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy
at EILFM.podbean.com.
We now continue with our program.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.